Once again. with Christ in glory and gazing upon his face is the realization of his presence with us now. And our theme tonight is access and acceptance, or entering into the blessings that are ours in Christ. Shall we open our Bibles to Exodus chapter 26? And verse 36. Remember, we said that we have in the approach to God the gate that brings us into salvation. Now we'll read about the door into communion with the five pillars upholding that door. And then inside God's house, beyond the dining room, we have the holiest of all, and we have the privilege of entering within the veil. Now it's very sad that many Christians never get beyond the gate. They know they're saved, but they're not sure. They haven't assurance. They can't have joy. They miss so much of God's salvation. But God desires that we shall enter into the fullness of blessing that he has for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember the first time I met our dear brother Dick Andrews. We called them the Quartet from the South. And we had a great time with them at Greenwood Hills. And I remember giving riddles and questions. I still do it. I have a whole list of them. I gathered them from everywhere. And they came, the four of them, to me with their faces beaming. They said, Brother Pell, we've got a question for you, and you can't answer it. I said, well, if you're so sure about it, I suppose I better be sure about it too. If you are sure that I can't answer it, then why should I even try to answer it? And the question was this: what is greater than salvation? So I said, well, not being the President of the United States, especially not now, not being a millionaire, not being a king on the throne, I said, do you mean to tell me that there is something greater than salvation? Oh, we thought we'd get you. I said, what is it that's greater than salvation? The knowledge of the Savior. Salvation is the work that he accomplished, whereby our souls are saved. But he didn't only save us that there might be a fire escape from hell. He saved us that we might enjoy him and he enjoy us. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, that's why he saved you, in order that you might enter into all the blessings he has for you. So far in our studies, we've had the approach, the way to God's house. But it's in the house we find all the blessings. Everything that God can give us is in Christ. Now, all that we need is in Jesus. And Jesus is all that we need. But let us never forget that all that we need is in Jesus. And let us count our blessings. They are innumerable. It's impossible to number them, but it's not impossible to enjoy them. But just as that gate introduced us to God's salvation, that door introduces us to the riches of glory in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now we'll read about that door. Exodus chapter 26 and verse 36. And thou shalt make an hanging for the door of the tent of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twine linen wrought with needlework. And thou shalt make for the hanging 5 pillars of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, and their hooks shall be of gold, and thou shalt cast 5 sockets of brass for them. Now Paul, writing to the Hebrews, refers to this. And if we'll turn to the 9th chapter, of the letter to the Hebrews, we'll notice what we find inside that door. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 2. And there was a tabernacle made, the first. By that he refers to that first holy place, where we enter through the door. The first wherein was the candlestick for light, and the table, and the showbread for food, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. There were those 2 rooms in God's house. The dining room for satisfaction, and the holiest of all for worship. And in that holiest of all was the golden censer that received the incense from that golden altar, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubim of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. And that's true for the last Sunday I'll be with you. I would like to take up that study. So I can't speak about that now particularly. But let us turn to a passage in Ephesians that gives us the word I would like to use tonight in connection with our subject. In Ephesians chapter 2 and chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 2, and turn to verse 18, I think it is. Verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now turn to chapter 3 and verse 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now this blessed fact revealed in the New Testament that we have access into the very presence of God, that it's possible for us to be at home with God, and that we can constantly be in touch with Him. Now, that is illustrated so beautifully in one of the Psalms, Psalm 65. Let's turn to it. Psalm 65. And we have a little outline here of what's before us in the tabernacle. Psalm 65. And we have the thought of approach in verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Now that's a prophetic statement. That will be true in the future. But it's true for us now. Just as God will draw all to Himself in the coming day, and I say hallelujah, unto thee shall the vow be performed, for all flesh shall come. But now what's the first stage in that approach? Verse 3, iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Now we have noticed that in our former lessons. We cannot have communion. We cannot have satisfaction. We cannot have assurance unless that sin question is settled. Our iniquities, they're purged. They're gone. God does not see them. They're out of His sight. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now the difficulty with most of us is what we tried to bring out in our former lecture. The sin question, the self question. You're not going to be happy in the Lord Jesus if the sin question isn't settled. And you're not going to enjoy heaven on earth if the self question isn't settled. Sin was put away at the cross. And by the word of God, I judge myself. And now I can enter into the fullness of blessing that God has for me in Christ. Self isn't in the picture. My sins are gone. They needn't trouble me anymore. I can just bask in the sunlight of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. I knew a sister who realized that. She had been sick for 10 years. And I came to her one time and I said, my dear sister, isn't it wearisome, monotonous, day by day to be on this sick bed? Oh, she said, you know, in the morning, the letters came, I answer them, and then I fall back and let the Lord Jesus Christ love me all the day. Just enjoy the sunlight of His presence. Now, the next verse in our psalm, look at it. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. The sin question is settled. The self question is settled. Now I have access. Now I can approach unto God. What for? Listen, that He may dwell in thy courts. Are you at home with God? Is that the home of your heart? Or do you wander? God wants you to be perfectly at home with Him. Dwell with Him. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Now, before I go into the teaching of this, And notice the significance of those five pillars and the door and the table on the other side and the candlestick and the altar of incense. I want to tell you a story. I was at the Des Moines conference some time ago, and I had the young people, and I turned it into a question and answer period. And I read one of the questions, and I looked at it, and I said, I don't really understand this. Dear Brother Pell, how can I be anything but a conference Christian? And I said, I rather like conference Christians. I'm glad to see them there. I don't know what you mean by this. And then the one who wrote it spoke up and said, I see you don't. I'll have to tell you what I mean by that. I mean that now, when you are here, and the other preachers are here, and I'm with the Christians, oh, I'm happy. And my spiritual thermometer is up. And I find myself in the presence of God and happy. But I know what's going to happen. When we get back to our usual meetings, when I get back to the shop again, then my spiritual thermometer is going to go down, 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 like that battery on my Ford. And after a while, go, dead. And then I need the conference to get recharged again. Do I have to live like that? I said, no, Phil, you do not. Can you help me out? I said, I think I can. You know, just before I came from Grand Rapids, I got a telephone call from a dear friend of mine, a preacher, with a real good Irish name, Isaac Van Westenbrugge. And he called me up. It was a Monday morning. And he said, Brother Pell, are you busy this morning? I said, just a minute. So I turned to my wife and said, can you do the wash alone? Can you take care of things? What's the matter with you? I always do. Well, I just wanted to check up on it. So I said, yes, I'll be down. And I'm usually early. At least they say I am. And I got there early. And the preacher and myself were the only ones in that room. And I saw on the blackboard a list of names. Three lists. I saw the one list, and there were many that I knew because my father was born twice in Grand Rapids, and so was I. So we're real Grand Rapidians. And I said, why do you have these names on that list? Well, he said, after a while, some other preachers will come here, and some other Christians, and we have a prayer meeting. And any of us have the privilege of putting a name on that list, and we pray for them. Oh, I says, that's grand. I'm glad you're praying for so-and-so and so-and-so. That's great. What do you have the second list for? Well, he said, after God saves them, we take them out of list number one and put them in list number two. And we thank God for saving them. And we ask God to give them grace to grow in Christ. That's grand. I'm glad for the names that are in that second list. What do you have the third list for, Ike? He said, I would God we didn't have to have that. We put their names there when we don't know where they are. They've confessed Christ, but there's no evidence that they belong to Him. We don't want to put them back in list one. We can't keep them in list two. And so we have list number three. So I said, Phil, I'm going to give you a recipe. A sure cure for what ails you. I assure you that your name never need be in column three. He says, are you sure of that? I said, absolutely. There are three things that we need when we come into this world. The first thing I did was cry. What did I want? Food. What did I need? I've done it with babies. Slap them until they breathe. And then take that alarm. Three things. What are they? Food. Air. Exercise. Now I said, when we are saved, when we have life in Christ, those are three essentials. And those are the three things that we find in God's house. The joy of God's salvation will be ours if three things. First of all, God speaks to us through His Word. We feed on the Word of God. That's at the table. Secondly, we breathe the air of His presence. That's the golden altar. And thirdly, we witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the golden candlestick. Now, I'm going to give you something to do. Every day, 15 minutes, God speaking to you in His Word. That's feeding on Christ. Very essential. 15 minutes of every day at the golden candlestick, where you're responsible to see that that light burns as a priest. And witness for Christ. You're a witness. You're not a lawyer. All you have to do is tell what you know and what you see. A word for the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Third, prayer. Getting into the presence of God. Making it simple, God speaking to you. You speaking to God. You speaking for God. And I guarantee you'll have what our brother said, what is better than salvation. You'll be enjoying the presence of your Savior. You'll have heaven on earth. You'll be a Christian who is not only saved and on the way to heaven, but you'll never be a backslider. How many of you disagree with me? Do you all agree? Test it and see if it isn't so. Well, he did. When I came back the next year, I could see on his face that he was happy. He's one of the leaders in Minneapolis today, and he reminds me of this very often, of that meeting we had together. And he said to me, now, he said, if I slip up on it, he said, I may slip up on reading a chapter for two or three days. What do I do then? Just take the 15 minutes or bunch up the 15 minutes? Oh, I said, I see. You know, my wife said to me on Thursday, I'm so busy today, I haven't any time for the insignificant task of preparing meals, and I always side with her, and I said, all right. And then Friday comes, and she has the same excuse, she's too busy. And then, of course, Saturday, I don't expect it. But Sunday she comes and says, oh, joy, we're going to bunch up
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Enough said, he said. It's moment by moment. Here a little, there a little. It's not this bunching up you can get indigestion. It's getting the portions of the Word of God that God has for you. And feeding on the Word of God is very different from studying it and analyzing it. I can know the cookbook from page 1 to page 30. There's some that have more than that, aren't there? But knowing the cookbook is not eating a meal. We have to feed on Christ. And you can feed on Christ with 3 or 4 verses, can't you? But we need that. Now then, let us look at a few things in connection with that door. First of all, what do we find? We find 4 colors there. And we find 5 pillars there. There were 4 pillars that upheld the gate. There are 5 that upheld the door. Why? There are the 4 evangelists that tell us of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. They present his life to us. But there are 5 who direct our gaze to Christ in glory. There are the 5 pillars. And who are they? The 5 writers of the epistle. And if in the Gospels we see the Savior who wended his way to the cross to save us, in the pillars we are directed to the one who is there in the glory to satisfy the longing of our hearts. Paul tells us that he's the head of the church, and we are one with him there. He discovered that at the Damascus Turnpike. When he was persecuting God's people on earth, the Lord Jesus said, "Why dost thou persecute me? I'm not touching you. But if I step on your toe and you complain, I say, well, I'm not hurting you, but that toe is part of you." And Paul's truth is that believers are all one in Christ Jesus. He tells us of that head in glory who has a body here on earth. And then James tells us that there is a life to be lived down here. If he is the Lord of glory, then you're to have your eye on him and not on man. And there's to be no partiality, but you are to see everything down here in the light of the Lord of glory. So while Paul takes us into the heavenlies, James says, you better walk according to that light down here in this world. And then Peter says he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd who died for you, and you love him though you don't see him, but he's coming for you. The shepherd is coming, and he's going to take his sheep to be with him in that heavenly fold. And then John says you belong to the family of God. That's John's message. You are brethren. You have a father. And you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And his one word is love. Hereby shall all men know that ye belong to the Lord Jesus, that you love one another. You love one another. And then Jude tells us about the dark days that are coming. And he says, I'll tell you something. You couldn't be kept unless you had one who keeps you. Preserved in Christ Jesus throughout the darkest times. Preserved to be presented by and by. And oh, what a feast we have as we are directed by those 5 pillars. These 5 messengers, these 5 witnesses in the epistles to that blessed Savior in the glory. Now we have the colors there. And I would like just for us in these closing moments to turn to some scriptures that tell us of what he is to the believer in relation to these colors. He's the heavenly lover, and that's the blue. Luke chapter 8. I would like to warm your hearts for the Lord Jesus tonight. Luke and chapter 8 and verse 44. And here we have the blue. This dear woman came behind him, touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stopped. You say, what has that got to do with it? Do you know that's the color of the border of that garment was blue? This dear woman, she said, if I can touch that blue, and that blue is the color of heaven, it's the color of the horizon, where it touches earth, and I like to think that there's no one so low but they can touch the blue. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Touch the blue. Touch the blue. He loves. He loves. A girl asked us if we would go see her grandfather in the hospital. And we said we would. Is he sick? Yes. What's wrong? He's in a coma. Well, we said if he's in a coma, he won't hear what we say. He won't notice us at all. He says, I don't care about that. I want him saved. And I'm going to ask the Lord to save him. Well, when we got in there, we noticed that he was as she said. But we said we'd sing. Bill and I sang, and we're the best singers in the world if there were none of us. We sang, I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. And we said, Lord, if only he can touch the blue. We had to sing it a second time. And then he said, what's that? And we said, have you heard that before? Yes, in Sunday school. Do you believe that Jesus loves you? No. Did he? Yes, when I was good. Doesn't he now? No. Listen, there's another verse. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember Jesus loves me. That's the blue. The heavenly lover reaches down to the very lowest from the very highest heavens. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. That's the blue, the heavenly lover. And then we have the purple. And what does the purple speak of? Well, let's turn to the Song of Solomon. And chapter 3. And verse 10. Verse 9. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple. The chariot of purple. Who saw that chariot of purple? Someone who was looking down into the pit of hell. Dying on a cross. And he heard someone say, King, he's a king, he's a king. And he was a king. And that thief discerned the purple and had a ride in that chariot. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I've conquered death. I'm sovereign. I have all power. I have a chariot. I not only love you, but I can redeem you. I can deliver you. I can give you triumph over death and hell and the grave to be with me forever in the glory. The chariot of purple. And then the red. He's the red. Matthew chapter 27. Verse 28. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. Look at him. Our sins wrapped round him. And I'll never forget it. In glory, the wounds will be visible. I'll never, never forget him as a man of Calvary. In some meetings we had in Grand Rapids where many, many souls were saved, I was just a lad. The theme song of our brother Ironside was, "That man of Calvary has won my heart for me. He died to set me free. Blessed man of Calvary." Ah, he's not only the lover of my soul. He's not only the sovereign over every power that's against me. He's the man of Calvary who has won my heart by dying on Calvary's cross. And then finally, he's the spotless Holy One. Mark 9:3. Mark chapter 9 and verse 3. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. If you've read the book Holiness, the True and the False, you'll have read the experience of Mr. Ironside when he was looking for holiness. And he got to a certain retreat away from the world, and he thought away from sin and all the rest, that he might enter into the holy atmosphere of the tabernacle. But he couldn't find it. He sought it, but it evaded him. Sitting on the porch one day, a lady said to him, "My dear young man, I came here looking for holiness. I haven't found it. But my eye has been on you, and I've noticed that you've got it. I would like to know the secret." He says, "My dear sister, I haven't got it, and I've been looking on you, and I thought you had it." Oh, what a discovery when he looked away from self and saw that one in all his splendor.